Blog Talk Radio.
Anthem on the track, live from the land of snakes. With the same nigga playing your wake, wanna give your hands a shake. Bitch, we got bands to make, rubber bands to break. Guns and butter, that land on lake. Got bread, got plans to break the Brooklyn way. When Tony killed Manolo, had to look away. It's a war going on, starting to look like yay. A power worn is battle torn, thou should not kill. When diamonds is dancing, spending time in the Hamptons, building shrines in these mansions. Dance from the tropic of Cancer, the topic of Tantra. Heavy breathing on top for the mantras, throwing ballads with mandalas encrypted. Compile of the scriptures, fuck Twitter, only follow the mystics, the dons, to put hollow in the biscuits. Across from the Apollo is the district. I'm in the Nile Valley, Crocodile Valley. The name's Maury, the greatest story. The haters worry with the poor me, pity parties. Got the porta potties for the shit you kickin'. The reaction that is best was knee jerk. You can put your debut on a t-shirt. Niggas co-signing fuckery. These suckers be acting three-fifths of a man. Co-signing Mike Huckabee. On the low like how the fucker be. Luckily, none of these niggas ever fuck with me. Fucker be. My prospect is designed. My mind is psychotically designed. A prophet of the time. My pockets is aligned with property for shrines. My grind is monopoly. My mind with prophecy in mind. I'm in a hideaway, wide awake, listening to chants of roosters. Aligned with the mind of Mansa Musa. Enhance the future. Wars of the Manson future. Dabbing in Dubai, we dance the future. With a time to be a scorpion, Kevorkian. To those who don't share the sentiment, death to all you simpletons.
Now let's start the show. Step out of the cold.
Ladies and gentlemen, the C-O-double-M-O-N, synonym for fresh truth is the emblem. Hardcore since I was next door to Slim and them. Cold as the winter when fake niggas is shivering. Shaking in their Timberlands, you was played as Finnegan's. Hot for a minute, now you just still remember him. I've been a master since P was no limiting. Sick of saying, no gimmicking, no mimicking. Q infiniting down old blocks of Benedict. Yelling fuck the police like renting them. Pelican brief these niggas on who I be. Before the paper and the fame, niggas knew Rashid. Noble like Drew Ali, many have come, but few have been chose to be a true MC. You sing along with it inside, you knowing it's whack. Young, who are he to open it at?
Now let's start the show. Step out of the cold. We come from the cold.
But let's go. It's a festival of hip hop. We do it nonstop. Pop your bottles. Chicago niggas do it. It's staccato. Chopping notes for my homies. Fuck a model. And Ferragamo shoes giving dudes the motto. Think fast, drive slow. Survival is the throttle. Your live show is hollow. Should've kept it local. Rapping over vocals. Sound as soft as JoJo. With 12 monkeys on stage, it's hard to see who's a gorilla. You was better as a drug dealer. Feel the passion of the speed boy rationale. Half of it is what you say and half is style. Guess it's time for you to start cashing now. It's over, folks. Tell your guys to put the glasses down. Masters now. Versus touch of youth like a Catholic priest. Performances keep me sacking.
Now let's start the show. Step out of the cold.
Peace, peace, peace. Peace and Black Power family. Welcome to another episode of Knowledge Radio. Please, when knowledge is born, this is your host, Knowledge Born Allah, and we are here on our Black Prosperity Thursday episode. And indeed, we are having a prosperous Thursday by welcoming back to the platform the dynamic, healing, and transformative mind of the Scorpion Warrior King, who comes to us in the name of Brandon Bay, back in the building. Black Prosperity Thursday with Brandon Bay on the Brandon Bay Show. So family, listen, the phone number to call in, 929-477-1755. Again, 929-477-1755 to hear from His Highness the Scorpion King, Brandon Bay, in the building on the Brandon Bay Show today. 929-477-1755. Tell a friend to tell a friend to come get this knowledge, wisdom, and understanding from the mind of Scorpion King, Brandon Bay. Again, one more time, 929-477-1755. Press 1 with your questions, with your comments, with your shout-outs, with your acknowledgments, but whatever you got on your mind for our brother Brandon Bay in the building. So it becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce the sermon, present to others, and welcome back to the platform my brother, Warrior Conrad, and His Majesty, Scorpion King, Brandon Bay in the building. Let's give him some love. What's going on with you?
Awesome, brother. Thank you so much. That was an awesome introduction. I almost don't know what to say after an introduction like that, man. That was awesome, brother. Thank you.
Amen.
There's only one, not a four in our life.
Hey, well, it's time to be a scorpion up in here. You know what I'm saying? You know?
Yes,
it's a Scorpion King vibes going on up in the joint, you know? Yeah.
Word. So I'm going to just dig right in because this is Prosperity Thursday, which brings a lot of things to mind when I hear that, you know? So I want to dive right in with an excerpt from the 37th Quran by a prophet, the holy prophet, Noble Zu Ali, peace be upon him. The holy covenant of the Asiatic nation. Ye are the children of one father, provided for by his care, and the breath of one mother hath given you suck. Let the bonds of affection therefore unite thee with thy brother, that peace and happiness may dwell in thy father's house. When ye separate in the world, remember the relation that bindeth you to love and unity, and prefer not a stranger before your own blood. If thy brother is in adversity, assist him. If thy sister is in trouble, forsake her not. So shall the fortune of thy father contribute to support of his whole race, and his care be continued to you all in your love to each other. I wanted to start there for the reason of prosperity. So we understand where that prosperity comes from. We do have a source. There is an ultimate source. How we choose to view this source is it almost doesn't matter. Everyone's perception is different. So how we view that source is irrelevant. But how we view one another is imperative and important, as we are all reflections of that source. The Asiatic nation, the black man and black woman, here in America. So when I'm speaking on the subject of prosperity, there are things that we have forgotten. Things of old that we have forgotten that keep us perpetuated in a situation where we constantly are at odds with one another. And if we follow some simple instructions, I think that can change. So when we see our brothers and sisters in trouble or in adversity, what does that mean? There are many forms of adversity. There are many forms of trouble. Sometimes our helping our brothers and sisters, or most times, oftentimes, us helping our brothers and sisters, that's the conduit to our wealth, to our prosperity, to the things that bring what we want into our environment. So oftentimes when we deny others our brothers and sisters' help, we're also denying our own blessings. Go figure. Life attracts life. So if we're not putting forth prosperity, we're not going to receive prosperity. You can't put an orange seed in the ground and expect an apple tree to come out. You have to put an apple seed. You have to plant the right thing to get the right result. So going into seeing our brothers and sisters in trouble and adversity, we have to be able to identify what that is. It's not always financial. Sometimes it's talking to your brother and or sister and giving them your time. Sometimes it's extending yourself so that your brother and sister, if they have a need, can bring it to your attention, whatever that may be, so that they can get the proper help that they need, and so that you can do what's right with your people to continue the flow of energy so that that prosperity can come right back to you. As I said, life attracts life. So if we're not doing these like-minded things, we can't expect any prosperity to come to us, which brings me to my next point. If we are all children of a Most High God or of a supreme deity, it stands to reason that we are in ourselves our God. Small g, but nevertheless, God. And with that comes a great responsibility, as we have a lot of power in the things that we do, and especially the words that we use. The words that we use towards one another dictate what's going to happen in our lives, as there's power in those words that we use. From the standpoint of a linguist, language is what makes up culture. The culture of any civilization, the bare essential basis for that culture or civilization to exist is their language, how they communicate with one another, whether it be verbal or nonverbal. Language is language. And these key focal points create an environment for success or for failure. But again, it's contingent upon the words that we use amongst one another, as far as how we go or how far we go in our prosperity. So to divulge into that, or to get a little deeper into that, when we repeat certain things, we bring about certain things in our reality. We speak it into existence. And a clean example of this is, and anyone here that's listening can look this up, they have thousands, hundreds of thousands of placebo studies where scientists and doctors study these things to better understand how these things go. And there are plenty to choose from. Find a black one. So the way that our words or the vibration of our voice works is once these vibrations come out of our mouth, the vibration begins to attract to it what is coming out. So if we constantly speak death in our lives or poverty in our lives, that is what will be attracted to us. When we're utilizing our words for success, we normally get that success mainly because we're putting forth not only the verbiage, but the actions, as the actions normally follow the words. So if we're speaking death, we're going to live in a death-like culture, doing deathly things that bring us closer to death. But when we speak life onto the projects that we have or the aspirations that we have, we're bringing life to our situation. So we're attracting life to our situation. The same can be said for money and or currencies or fiat, however people choose to view it. I just call it prosperity. I don't really view how the prosperity comes as far as it just being prosperity. So when I think of prosperity, I think of the words that are associated with that subject, which can have positive connotations mostly, because I don't associate negative things to a prosperous situation. I don't believe that those two should be in the same room. Not for me. Now, if someone feels as though they can anchor those two polarities within the same confine and still get good results, go for it. I wouldn't advise it, because life attracts life, as I said before. And if we put the wrong element into the mixture, we'll get what we pay for. So going into attracting this via our words and actions. When I associate words of prosperity, I associate words like health, happiness, joy, fulfillment, satisfaction, healing. Of course, finances. But that's further down the line for me. As my top, I'll say five, aren't of finances. It's of the average, everyday interaction and the things that are important to me. So when we're looking for prosperity, we have to look at the things that are important to us. What's important to us? There's only but so many things that can be important. There are materials, that being the physical things that we can see and touch, phones, tablets, a car, a house. But these are all derivatives of things that we cannot touch. So when we think of a car or a house, we're thinking of transportation and safety. The car transport and the home provide shelter. These are the things that we want inside of our prosperity, as these are the things that would make our lives much easier. And when we have these things, we're able to offer things to other Black men and Black women who are in need. It is not a time at that point, after you receive what you've received, to shut yourself off, because you're only shutting off your blessings at that point. Charity is very small in our community at this current point, but it needs to become a larger thing, as charitable acts lead to more prosperous situations. And I say that with a heavy heart, because I have fallen victim as well to seeing myself in situations where I didn't feel as though I needed to give. So I'm not going to put myself above anyone else, but I have definitely evolved from that. And during this evolution, I have seen the changes within my own life. So I am at a point where I feel as though I can share these changes, and hopefully my changes could affect someone else. There were many days that I would see our people in a position and someone would have the courage to ask. And we have to remember that when you don't have anything, or you're in a position of I'll just say for the sake of argument, failure. Which failure is not indefinite. But when you're in a position of failure, it's sometimes hard to reach out to somebody and say, hey, I need help. Because we have a lot of things going on. We have pride, we have secrecy. We have a lot of things that we incorporate into our lives that sometimes prohibit us from even stepping forth and saying, I need help. Even if it isn't financial, hey, I need someone to watch my kids so that I can go make money. It's not necessarily financial, but it is financial. Because that's someone's time and someone's effort that they need to get to the next point in their life. So we can't always close our ears to everything that we hear. We have to be open-minded. Again, prosperity is not a closed-minded thing. Prosperity is very open, very wide, and very clutch. Hence the reason for the word prosperity. To prosper, which means it is in the act of constantly growing, constantly moving. When we think of these small elements that we have in our life, friendships, and I say small elements because in the grand scheme of our life, we have many friendships, many relationships, many people that we love, many people that we deal with, many people that we interact with. So I call it small, but it's micro to the macro, because all of these small things lead into something larger. So the way that we interact with people and the way that we treat people sometimes cut off that level of prosperity that we need because of our actions and the actions that we're taking. You can't ask for prosperity and take the actions in the opposite direction. That's a conflict of interest. And if you can think about prosperity in its totality, conflict and prosperity don't sound like they're in the same ballpark. That doesn't sound like they reside in the same household. Prosperity sounds like it needs something completely different, and conflict sounds like it needs something completely different. So we have to identify that and move forward. When I speak on charity, I'm speaking on putting forth action to bring about results. So you want to see something for yourself. You can't stop those same things that you want to see for yourself. You can't stop that happening for other people, especially your brothers and sisters, when they're in need. And if they're willing to come to you, because it takes a lot to come to somebody and ask them and leave the door open for rejection, to leave the door open for someone to say no, to leave the door open for someone to say something worse than no, because people do that. If we want prosperity, we can't talk like that because we'd be bringing about the wrong thing. If we're unable to do something, we can make that plain. It's not hard to tell somebody, I just don't have it, or I'm unable to, or I'm not able to at this time, because that gives somebody something to go off. It gives them an opportunity to digest, first of all, what you told them. Secondly, it gives them an opportunity to gain up some more strength and quite possibly go to the next person without damage without having to hear, why don't you have it? Or without having to hear, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Because that's not always our place. I know that we want to do that, but if we're telling someone else that, we're speaking that into existence in our life, and maybe there's something that's being manifested when we speak those kind of things. So we have to take a very keen look at that when we say these things. Because sometimes we're speaking it over ourselves, so oftentimes, most times, we're speaking it over ourselves as well. Especially when we do it in repetition. Especially when we make repetition out of not giving charitably to our people. And I'm not saying charitably as in giving everything that you have, but giving something small sometimes means a whole lot more to the person that you're giving. Sometimes you giving a little bit to that person changes the way that their entire life goes in that moment, from that interaction, from that small sacrifice from you. But on a larger scale, outside of that person and onto the person that gave, they're opening the door or floodgate for more opportunity in their life as they're being charitable. They're not holding on and hoarding the things that they're getting. They're letting it flow naturally as things progress and digress. We have to catch on to these things and allow the nature of the thing to do what it does. We can manipulate the nature, but manipulate it correctly. Don't manipulate it to hurt or to harm. So in essence, if you're able to make money and you're able to do well for yourself, make sure to extend your arm or an olive branch to your brother and your sisters that may be in trouble and adversity. They may just need that. And from that olive branch, you may have created a business partner or someone that can extend to you an olive branch in your time of need. So it's very imperative that we have a thorough concept of charity and how it works. As far as us wanting prosperity in our lives, not just financially, but in all aspects. You want to have good relationships with people. You want to have your children happy. You want to have your family happy. You want to have your friends happy. That's prosperity. In a raw form, that's prosperity. Untainted, untouched, unmolested. That's prosperity. It starts with how we speak to one another and how we treat one another. So when it comes down to our actions, charity is not the only way to receive prosperity. That's just one of the many floodgates we can open to bring prosperity into our realm or into our situation. And from that point, as long as we commit to our actions, what we want to follow. I don't think I've seen it happen any other way. So when it comes down to committing to these actions, another good action to take is that of confidence. There's another excerpt, I'm not going to read it right now, but more instructions from the Holy Prophet, Noble Jew Ali, peace be upon him, was to know thyself. Know who you are. Be discerning in who you are. Oftentimes we'll go and say, I have a little bit of money, but I want to hold on to it. And you'll see something that's worth your while. And it comes to you out of nowhere. But we say, I don't know if I'm going to prosper again. or how long it may take. So I don't want to get this right now. And we're denying ourselves at that point the luxury of prosperity, kind of cutting off the faucet after it was already turned on. Oftentimes, we don't have faith in ourselves to make the moves that are necessary to get back to the point where we are prosperous. We have to have confidence in our moves. We have to move with confidence. Our word has to be our bond, and our bond has to be our word. Our moves have to have meaning so that the meaning comes right back to our mood. As interchangeable as some things may be, some things are not. So the way that we move is extremely important, especially when we want to bring about prosperity, when we want prosperity in our lives. We want to have. Well, in order to have, not only do we have to make room for those things, but we have to have confidence. So if you don't know, or if you're uncertain, prosperity doesn't sound like something that is uncertain or unknown. Prosperity is just prosperity. It is that it is. We have to get over those fears sometimes. I'm not saying be foolish. I'm not saying take your rent money and spend it on rent. I most certainly ain't saying something like that. But I am saying that if it is worth it to you, and if it's going to be beneficial in your life, and it's not going to completely flatline your pocket, you should do it. That's what the prosperity is there for. And if whatever it is that you're purchasing brings you closer to happiness, brings you closer to a better relationship with your friends and or family and or children, make the move. And don't look back. Moving forward puts us in a position where things are constantly changing. So the situation can always get better. But if we stand still and say, let me hold this dollar, we're cutting off the lines of prosperity at its head. Prosperity is something that constantly moves and constantly flows. Prosperity is constantly expanding and constantly growing. We cannot expect something of that nature to stagnate. So we can't stagnate. We have to keep an honest and constant influx of ingoing and outgoing within our household, getting rid of the things that mean us harm or do us no good, and bringing in things that are beneficial, that are helpful, and that bring joy to you and happiness and bring your family closer together. Prosperity is not necessarily something that we can control, but it's not something that's outside of our control either. We can't have full control over it. You can't have prosperity every day, all day. As people breathe in, we have to breathe out. So there are times when things change, but we can't look at the negatives within those things. We have to constantly see the positive. And even if you can't see the positive, create a positive. Within any situation, all situations are teachable situations. Negative and positive are all contingent upon our perception and beliefs. what we believe to be negative and what we believe to be positive. There are people that believe that conquering was positive, and it worked. And that's on the most rudimentary, low level of thought. So could you imagine what we could do if we just put our minds to the action, press forward, even though the situation doesn't look too good? Not every situation is supposed to, but we are supposed to learn from each situation, because in our totality, in our wholeness, it brings us closer to our goal, perfection. Wholeness, happiness, fulfillment, joy, prosperity. The ultimate underlying goal. So that was one thing that was on my mind today that I actually want to touch on, as I don't believe I had an opportunity to touch on that last time that I got on. And along with that, because I'm not done yet, I just wanted to let y'all know this is what I want to touch on. There has to be some level of unity when it comes to the rich and the poor, in order to keep this thing of ours moving. The black man and woman here in America have been under attack since before the formulation of the word America. We have people that are in places that have the position to change things and choose not to. So we have to make the correct alliances with the correct people and move forward instead of backwards. So if there is a rich man in your neighborhood of your ethnicity that could use some of your words so that they could understand and relate to the poor man, I think that now is the time to have that conversation. Because there is power in our unity, the rich and the poor, upper class, lower class, middle class, however we choose to view it. There's power in that unity. There's power in the connections that are made within that unity. Most of the times, we don't even see the power in our communication. But sometimes, that communication means the difference between life and death, between going through a situation where things can get bad or being stopped by communication. So the communication between those that we consider rich and those that we consider poor is the most imperative thing, because the rich cannot stay rich without the poor, and the poor cannot become rich without the rich. So in order for things to change and in order for things to happen, especially speaking on something prosperous, we have to go out and begin to make connections with like-minded individuals that look like us, so that we could formulate our own, be able to go to our own, be able to confide in our own. Confiding in anything else is just stupid, as we have seen how that has worked. It is the opposite of prosperity. It is in complete and total opposition to prosperity. And not prosperity in its totality, just the our prosperity. So this is something that we have to focus on. The unity between the rich and the poor means the difference between a good environment for these children to be brought up in and the environment that we are being brought up in now. There are a lot of conversations that we have to have. Our education, financial literacy, trade, things that would improve our community. We need more engineers. There are many conversations to be had that could change our reality in a blink. When I speak about prosperity, I normally speak to those who do not have it, as it is easier to reach them. Someone who is prosperous is not trying to listen. They're too focused on their prosperity. The things that we do as far as the conversations that we have with the right people, making meetings amongst ourselves to come up with solutions to change our situation. That's one of the most important things that we keep doing. Who doesn't want to prosper right now? Who wants to stay in a position of want and need? Who wants to continue to look inside of their refrigerator and see very little food? And continue to see these things daily. These positions have to change. And it starts with a prosperous mind frame. It starts with thinking prosperous. Thinking confidently. Knowing that the moves that we're going to make will lead us to what we want. So the unity between the rich and the poor is extremely imperative, especially if you were poor and now you are rich. Your connection to the poor is imperative, as you are the link between the two. So the conversations that you have to be about your people. Otherwise, you're going to stagnate your prosperity, and you're just going to stay wherever you are. And for some people, that's cool. But for those of us who have not had, that's not good enough. So that same fight and that same death and that same deal that we had when we were poor carries over. So it's imperative that we keep our connections with the people that was with us when we had nothing. Friends, family, loved ones. Oftentimes they may not know the route that you took to get to where you got. But if you can show them the blueprint, if you can take out the time and show them how you got to where you got to, maybe they can come up with their own solution. Maybe they can reach the same goal that they're trying to reach anyway. Sometimes people just need that boost, that conversation that gives them confidence, puts a little wind behind their wings. So the unity of the rich and the poor, well, that's beyond imperative. As within our community, we have a lot more poor than rich. So when we do have rich, we have to reach that. We have to talk to the community. We have to form organizations within our community. For us, by us, so that we can reap the benefits and prosperity that comes from said action. I know people don't feel as though we have social duty to our community as it pertains to our prosperity, but these things are directly aligned together, as the communication with people is what builds civilizations and nations. So it is our duty to reach that as far into our communities as we physically possibly can, mentally and psychologically, and do everything that we can to make a change. As we are doing these things, prosperity is open to us as we're moving in the direction of prosperity, hence trying to bring prosperity to others. There was a rich man once, Mansa Musa, who literally was the richest man on earth. And you would think that being the richest man on earth, he kept all of his riches to himself. But in the spirit of prosperity, he spread his wealth everywhere. As a matter of fact, they're still finding his gold in all the nooks and crannies of the earth. So he didn't just hold on to his wealth in fear that he wouldn't have any more. He spent it as it came, allowing it to continue to come, flowing like a stream or a river, or like a current, like the current that we can see. The base of the word currency is current, which is we can view as electrical, or however we choose to view it. But a current can be something like a current of wind, a current of water. In either case, a current conductor. But in either case, it is still an influx or flow of energy, whether it be the energy of the water, the energy of the wind, or the energy that comes from electricity. It is a flow, an influx, an inward and outward flow. So if we're expecting this currency to come to us, we have to be very vigilant and diligent in our social duties within our community, as the duties we commit to in our community lead directly back to our front door. I'm not saying go out and be foolish and give until you do not have. That is the move of a fool. Because if you don't have, then you can't give. But do what we do in modesty. Make sure to be modest when you're interacting with your brothers and sisters and they come at you with business plans. Be modest. Be humble. Our ideas are not the only ideas that make money or can be prosperous. Sometimes when we go into our community, we see that there are other ideas that are just as prosperous, if not more. And we have to be willing to back these ideas, because sometimes they don't have the funding. Sometimes it takes for a group effort to be put forth in order for something to happen. That's normally how everything works. You have people that come from one area, people that come from another area, come together, pool their resources, and create something. Within our communities, you can believe that there's a $1 billion idea waiting to be hatched. Someone who has a plan and not the resources. So our social duties are imperative. As these people that we're looking at could mean the difference between us staying in the position that we're in or us elevating to a completely different position in life. Prosperity does not know a ceiling. There is no cap for prosperity. Oftentimes, we have spent millions and billions and billions of dollars on other people's ideas, buying into other families. When I think of my social duties, I think of my family first, as that is the first place my social duties would be used before I go out into the world. My first form of government that I encountered was within my family, as there's a hierarchy, there's a judgment system, and there's a punishment system, as well as reward. So our social duties are actually the most imperative thing to our prosperity. It shouldn't be an argument if your grandmother needs you to take out the trash. She is old and needs your help. If she is asking, obviously she cannot do it herself. Or she does not choose to. In either case, it is our obligation within the confines of our social duties to make sure that to carry out certain tasks so that things flow endlessly, so that these realms of prosperity can reach us. We can't expect prosperity while trying to stagnate at the same time. They do not work together, as I've stated before. Or if your brother needs help going to work, take him to work if you have a vehicle. Or give him the change or the money that he needs to catch the bus. Don't stand there and look at him and say, well, you ain't trying. If he came to you, he's obviously trying hard. Those small social duties lead to larger social duties. Because as we practice these things in our own household, we're going to bring what we practice in our household out onto the world. And people are going to be affected by our decisions, by the wealth and social duty that we commit to, or the lack in social duty that we commit to. People are going to be directly affected. So if we don't get on our social duties, which truly starts within the home, making sure that things are taken care of, playing our part, not being the holdup to others, allowing the influx of incoming and outgoing to happen in its natural procession, manipulating only in the benefit of all and not in the benefit of self. There is no reason why Thursday, as well as every day, wouldn't be a prosperous day for all of us. I could try to explain to people astrology and using astrology to gain wealth, but it really comes from our actions. So to use astrology is to speak to you, to be honest, or to use some other means. because we're forgetting that there is an exchange of energy. And we cannot expect that we want to be given without something being taken. Our ancestors showed us that. In ancient Egypt, chemists, they wrote it all along the wall. As there's a giving, there's a taking. As there's a positive polarity, there's a negative polarity. Knowledge, you still there with me? How am I doing on my...
Yeah, you good. Suave, okay, in the cool. Building, too.
What?
Yeah. That's why I'm saying something. Yeah, over there playing and shit.
Black power, black power, black power. It must be that
black power, bro.
Knowledge, burn out loud. Shout out to Brandon Bay, man. Yeah, I'm in the building. Been in the building. Let my brother get it in, man. You know, I'm always happy to hear from Brandon, man, because he's such a knowledgeable person. And, you know, that's my thing right there, man. I love to get taught. So, you know, listening to Brandon is never a waste of time. I appreciate his in-depth, you know, breakdown on things. And the way he goes about it. So shout out to the brother, Brandon, man. I'm happy to see you up here, bro. What's going on? How y'all doing today?
Lovely, brother. Prosperous. Today is a prosperous day. How about yourself, brother?
That's what's up. That's black. That's very black. That's real black.
That's black power.
Sure.
Did you have anything you want to add, brother? Because I'm glad that you're up here. You are definitely a wealth and source of knowledge to all. And by the way, I just had to let you know, brother, you've been killing it over there on the Solar Vision Debate League. Oh, my God. But anyway, murdering that over there. if there's anything you want to add, brother, please feel free, because you know I'm always open to your point of view. You always bring a wealth of knowledge as well as knowledge born Allah. So, if you have anything,
you already know how I feel, man, how I give it up, man. Black progression, you know, invest in our own, concentrate our numbers, start participating in this society that it takes you all so much energy and resources to participate in, and blood. And, you know, focus on your own, do your own. It might not be as pretty and as shiny as well put together, but it's yours. And that's the fundamental, you know, to providing a fuel for you, like I explained yesterday on the RPG World League. Make sure you go to YouTube and subscribe. We're not moving on funding. We're moving on the spirit, the energy that you know we create. There's a, you know, unlimited amount of energy. Even if we get killed, we come back. Use that same energy, come back. The reason the other side is fighting is because they're paid to fight. We're not getting paid to fight. So you can lose because you can run out of funding. So just, you know, support, create your own, support your own, grow your own, man. It'll be worth it 200 years from now when you come back through here, you know. So we must keep our information updated. This is not the 60s. And we must allow room for the information to be updated in the 2060s, in the 2070s. There's a reason why we die and the youth continue on. You can only go through so much change before the programming that suits your body is outdated and can't be updated anymore. And so you must come back through in another process, you know, in another body. So, man, I just really want people to focus on the big picture and you know that the big picture gets won through small battles, you know, that gives us the advantage in the war. And we definitely at war because we definitely being attacked, so we definitely need to be defending ourselves with good scholarship, resources, gunpowder, and black power.
Right on. I think that's the first time I heard Swab say that. I'm going to remember this moment, just so you know.
Yeah, you got to know that. They be looking for me, bro, on certain things, so I have to make my stance on nonviolence abundantly clear. And
all else is
our information. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
Yeah, that's important, bro. That's important, bro.
You're right, my brother. And you know, I wanted that piggyback on that and ask that. A lot of my family came out of Levi back to County, Florida. So that's known as in the movie world Rosewood, right? So when we think about, and I know that there's other families that came out of Tuscaloosa, Oklahoma, as well as all over this place. They just put emphasis on these two places, but everybody was working in tandem. So when I think about, like, some of the things that led to a fall, it was mainly sometimes the lack of communication. You know what I'm saying? The lack in wanting to work together, because you have this individual scheme going on where everybody's like, I can prosper more than this, or I can prosper more than that one. We can't prosper no more than our weakest link. Our weakest link is going to be the hindrance always, because it's the weakest link. So we are only as strong as our weakest link. And if there's a weak link within our armor or a kink in our armor, it has to be repaired, and it has to be repaired by the all. You know what I'm saying, brother? We can't allow these situations to happen where we can actually do for ourselves and allow someone else, the authority, do for us what we can already do for us. You know what? You said it might not be as shiny. I think it would be. I think it would be better. I think it would be 10 times better.
Of course.
Even if it ain't shiny, how they look at it, it's our perception. It might look like shit to them, but to us, it's a masterpiece. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Through the opinion, we have to make our own opinion. We have to be the ones that perceive our actions and judge our own actions. We can't keep allowing others in society to dictate how we move and what's important to us and what's beautiful to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they said? They said kinky hair is ugly. To me, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
And then try to find
nappy hair is ugly. Remember that? You know what I'm saying?
Then try to nap their hair up.
And then turn right around and nap their hair up. And get extensions and all other things.
Yeah.
It's just mind-boggling how, you know, sometimes we don't have the confidence within ourselves to just say, I am beautiful. The things that I'm doing is benefiting my people. Sometimes we don't have that confidence, because we're looking at the social view and the social norm of what we expect others to feel for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sometimes shadowing the power that we have within inside of ourselves.
Absolutely.
I think that right now, Swab, speaking just directly to you, you're on to something with the Midwest music, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And within the confines of creating an infrastructure and a platform into which Midwest music can be seen and heard, there is a lot to be benefited from that small situation for the all. So it may seem small in the, you know, the binoculars that we look through, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's small in the overall, because that can benefit many families. That can change the lives of many families. Midwest music being brought to the ears of the world. You know what I'm saying? The lingo, the lifestyle.
The cadence. Yeah, the cadence. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The delivery, the style, the energy, the you know, I understand that, and you know, you right up, you have to have the strength and the intelligence to know to not let outsiders define. But the thing is, see, right. When we come up in this system, it's like the authority says don't cross the street. Everyone agrees.
Right.
You know, the authority says get your food from the store. Everyone agrees. And then when it comes to the authority says you don't build that way, everyone agrees without knowing, oh, this is different. This ain't like a stop sign, and this ain't like going to school. This is something that I can independently build that they don't have authority over. And so instead of saying, no, we'll just build our own, you say, no, the people that told us to cross the street and the people that told us to go to school said invest in their stuff. You don't build your own. But it takes somebody with that intelligence to be able to say, no, this is different. You know, we do this, that, like, this is a false authority. Impress it and make them shake. And when they don't come through, you say, see, I told you. This ain't like when we didn't stop at the stop sign and we got a ticket. See, they can't give you no ticket for this. All of this is just they trying to, you know, get you to teach yourself, I can only go this far. I can only have this much power. I can only get this high in a position. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And when I get it, I better not come back home with it and try to develop something for myself and my people. I better go and find out what city they trying to develop and see if I can put some money in that. Don't come back
right.
to Chicago. Don't go back to Gary. Don't go back to Indianapolis. Don't go back to South Bend and East Chicago and Hammond. Keep moving past all those cities that will benefit you to develop and go and try to add a tinker bell on something in Las Vegas and let them give you a pat on the back, and now your light bulb is lost in the billions of light bulbs that's already in Las Vegas. When you could have came and put one light bulb in Gary, and Gary doesn't have a light bulb, not one. You know, so it's a bunch of Garys, no matter what you call it. You know, your community, your neighborhood, whatever, you know, your place of imprisonment. Your place of enslavement, whatever you want to call it, man, do for your own. And it's not about the ground, it's about the people. The ground is a tool that provides itself for you. The people is the point. The people is the point. So don't get attached to anything other than your people, because that's the source of it all. It was here before you were born. It's going to be here after you passed away, that energy, that spirit, that existence that you cannot understand from this point of view. So, yeah, just recognize that you got to have intelligence to pull from outside of the prison we in and stand on it.
I'm glad that you spoke on that. I don't know if you heard what I was talking about before you started talking. I was talking about social duty. You know what I'm saying? And the social duties that we have, first of all, within our community, but even more foremost, within our own household. You know what I'm saying? Like the duties that we kind of pray for. You know what I'm saying? But it's practice, though. You feel me? Because when we commit to these little duties in our families, like, hey, Suave may be the one to get everybody together for the barbecue, and then his sister may be the one to get the food together. Then his cousin may be the one to watch all the kids while the food and stuff being cooked. You know what I'm saying? Each person plays an imperative role, clearly, because if one of them ain't happening, something ain't going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just talking about the social duties within the family, because when we commit to these and we do our part and we play our part, it's easier to play our part within the kids. We've had practice at that time. By that point, you know what I'm saying? So when we out in the community, And someone says, okay, we need to come up with a think tank. It's going to be nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, okay. Well, that's easy. I've done that at home plenty of times. We always come up with ideas at home.
Mm-hmm.
Now bringing it to the forefront. What you say? I'm sorry, brother.
No, I was just saying an investment team. Shit.
Yeah. Because, shit, well, by the time we look up, we may be in a position where it's time to fund Swab's idea. You know what I'm saying? And now we have 10 to 11 brothers that are ready to do social duty because they've been practicing at home. You know what I'm saying? They've been practicing what they've been what you're supposed to be doing within your community at home. So now when it's time to put the rubber to meet the pavement, it shouldn't be a problem. At that point, the contributions should be easy to make because the prosperity is coming right behind it. We know that. People want instant gratification, which I get that. But that comes from a whole other place of thought. That doesn't come from our people. You know what I'm saying? That's not natural. The only thing that we can get instantly is lightning. And when it comes, it doesn't normally come to be your friend. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But when you want a tree to grow, you got to put the seed in the ground, and you got to wait, you got to water it, you got to nurture it.
What you do?
You know? So it's real imperative that we stay on these social duties, not only within our community, but especially within our household, so that when these opportunities come about, we're able to act. You know what I'm saying? Confidently, because we've been doing it for a while. So you're not scared to take that step and say, you know what? I love Brum music. Or maybe I don't know. I don't understand Brum music, but I see where he's going. Let me, you know what I'm saying, do what I can to make this happen. Okay, well, shit, bro. I got 50 on it. You got 50. Let's make T-shirts to promote. You know what I'm saying? These small moves, because I say it's small because it's not on a large scale, and I'm not going to lie and say it is. But it can be. The potential is there. We've seen through Nipsey Hussle's work. That brother heavy promoted his business through his music. And now his business is doing great, even though he is dead and gone. God rest the brother that did so much. You feel me? Now his children are going to be able to benefit from his business. And those who invested with him and worked with him will also be benefiting from those decisions. So it goes without being said, but at this point in time, I think it does need to be said that when we have our brothers that are making these moves and doing the things that they're supposed to be doing, we have to engage in these situations. Even if you don't have the funding, but you have an idea that can benefit. All of these things work to the collective. It ain't going to be the individual that benefits the collective. But when the collective benefits, you benefit as well. Especially when you're a part of the collective.
Well, you heard that. Hey, Zach. Shout out to Katrina. Putting the air on because she's hot in the kitchen trying to whip up so many peace.
Shout out to the hurricane.
Yeah, man, I just appreciate everybody who can wrap their mind around, you know, the plans that we have envisioned. And for envisioning these plans, and I'm so happy for our descendants that's going to be able to benefit from it and grow it. You know, it's about time our story had a climax. It's about time our story has something in it that defines us as the lead character, you know, and not just some side character. I'm tired of being looked at as if we are not the main focus. When clearly there's been nowhere near as much damage done to anybody as has been done to us. And people are still going through damages. Like, things are still happening all throughout the earth where the white man is taking his inferiority complex and has placed his disappointment on people. But nobody's ever been, you know, like, they attempted to wipe it off the face of the earth. Like there's no trace of the Egyptians. There's no trace of the Egyptians. Like, people tracing themselves back to all type of stuff. But who was the great, 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 great son of the Pharaoh? You know what I'm saying? Like, nope, none of that information. They go in there, they rob the information, create their own books, change the names, the times, the locations, the narratives, and now all of a sudden we just can't imagine where they got it from. Man. So I think we need to do something to shake this country and put it on its neck. You know, like the Great Migration or the Great Investment. You don't want to move. Just a great investment where black folks pulled their dollars and put them in the pot and created something for themselves without cracker funding and, you know, cracker direction. Where the money goes and what the outcome will be. Like, hey, y'all did it. Y'all built a statue. And I go home. Like, we ain't here to build no statue, fam.
For real.
We ain't here to build no statue. Yeah, we here to build a nation. We here to build an empire. You know, we here to rebuild the earth back to where it was supposed to be before people started wasting the resources and creating destructive tools. You know, like, as simple as that, man. We've always had the intelligence to build a nuclear bomb. We just never wanted to build a nuclear fucking bomb. Who is that for? You know? Somebody else on Earth? Like, nah. They're my people. What's the problem with them? Is it a lack of food? A lack of water? Is it a lack of land? Because we could take care of that. There's no reason to wipe them off the face of the Earth. You know? But, yeah, it's just a different swag, man. That's why I love being black. Because I don't have to deal with a lot of things that non-blacks have to deal with. You know, the certain drug abuse, certain alcoholism, certain sexual deviancy. Like, I like how we move, man, how we talk to each other, how we treat each other, how we address each other. How the woman and the man and the woman plays their roles for each other. But we don't have none of those African American problems over here in the black community. You know, we've never lost our sense of respect. We've never lost the way we was raised. Like, the things that great 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 grandmama taught, great great grandmama still stands in the black household. Like, you still take your shoes off, still wash your hands before you eat. Like, you have to reteach people stuff like that. That's not in the black community. They don't have that sense, you know. Nobody ever told them that. They told them, you know, get an education, go to work, spend your money here. I ain't telling them what to do in between, how to pick a spouse, choose a mate, how to condition your kids. You know, how to expand your household. Nah. Everybody just got to buy another household. What was wrong with the last one? You supposed to buy one of those and expand. Nah. You got to have you separated and divided. If that ain't how y'all do it, don't worry about it. You know,
and
this White
the
House. Code. We got all
here's
these rules in the White
squad.
House for a reason. Go ahead.
Here's the crazy thing, Swab, because Knowledge mentioned this the other day, and you know a whole bunch of lights went on to my shit. We're fighting against family. It's like family versus family. So here's how it works for our families. We're taught not to have one, right? And then when you see somebody with theirs, it's like, well, no, you can't do it, but yeah, we could do it.
Mm-hmm.
So buy our brand of Kellogg's because our family makes it. So what can my family do? What can my family do? Because now, if what we're saying right here is fucking real and it's correct, that means that there's a possibility that your family could cash in on something that your family did at.
Yep.
Right?
Sure.
And as long as we back these families, we'll be straight over here.
Mm-hmm. So what the hell is the Bay family doing at the Disney? What the hell is the Bay family doing at Disney World? Instead of creating Bay World.
Right.
Now you have all these families supporting the Disney family, making them greater and greater and greater and greater, instead of investing in their own family. Like he said, you invest in the Louis family, you know, you invest in the Gucci, the Prada family.
Walmart.
Yeah, the Walmart. Instead of investing in your own family.
What you say?
No, I was just saying Knowledge nailed it on the head when he said that.
Yeah, he did. Because they have benefited hand over fist. You know what I'm saying? Like we know what Walmart can do, but now what can the Jacksons do, or what can the Pierres do? You know what I'm saying? Or what can the Johnsons do? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's time like that people put stock back into their family. You know what I'm saying? Put, like I said, back to the social duty. Putting that stock instead of placing it elsewhere. You know what I'm saying? Where it clearly is not benefiting us at this point. I heard that if you work at Walmart, they take out insurance policies on you, and if you die, they cash out and they don't share with your family.
Yeah.
What kind of benefit is that? What kind of shit is that? You know what I'm saying? As far as a family to a family, that means another family is benefiting from the death of your family member, and your family is not benefiting. Not only is they not benefiting from the death of the family, they're not benefiting any more from the relative's life. So it's almost imperative that we have things set up within our own family that secure us, secure our investment. I would much rather purchase my music and my products from someone who looks like me than to purchase my music, my food products, my health products, and everything else from someone who does not have the same anatomy.
Yeah. I'd rather invest my money with someone who thinks like me, because I know no matter what I'm spending my money on, that somewhere a girl is being educated, a young man is being educated, you know, some food is being grown, some clothing is being made that supports us. It's not going toward a 14th house, a 20th car.
So that's not,
it's not going toward a trip to one of these sex ring countries. You know? It's not going toward that.
And that's not prosperity. You know what I'm saying? That's in the eyes of the social norm, it's been pegged as prosperity, but that's not prosperity. If you got 100 cars and your mom has to catch the bus to work, something is psychologically wrong in that situation.
You got 100 cars and your cousin's mom. Your cousin's cousin's mom. Shit.
Something,
your neighbor's
wrong.
Mom. Somebody you
wrong.
Don't even know mama got to walk to the store and you got to hurt a car, something wrong.
Something
you have a country where the White House has a bunch of rooms and there's homeless people outside that motherfucker. Open that bitch up, let motherfucker sleep in that motherfucker. You live in the country where the church closes. When the fuck did church close? Like, so I guess the devil goes to sleep, huh? Devil don't work through the night. Devil don't work through. He gonna wait till in the morning to when the church wakes. Like, come on, man, this stuff is our business, you know, and we ain't about that. We're socialist, communist people. We use capitalism at the very minimum, you know. But we're mostly social Catholics. I mean, socially communist. We make sure to all provide for the one and that everything takes care of everyone. You know, everyone takes care of the one whole, and all resources go for all our people. You know. And they shun for thinking like that, but they do it. They surely do it. The Bilderberg, the Wahlbergs, all that shit. They make sure they keep that money running over there.
All throughout the family, each member. I ain't gonna get on to all that fuck shit, but each member, and not just them. It's intergenerational. There are people that we walk past every day. That they're not fighting over one household or one house if grandma died in their family. There's several properties. This one's getting this. That one's getting that. This one's getting this part of this. That one's getting that. We have to start creating this within our family infrastructures and within our community. It's not even about playing catch up. It's about securing investment. If the aim of our people is to catch up to somebody else, we are already screwed. Because we're trying to keep up with somebody who is clearly doing things that is destroying not only our planet, but the relationships among people. So that ain't who we need to be chasing behind. Just set our own pace. Set our own lane and stay in it. And perfect it. And protect it. As anybody would want to protect their investments. Why is it that black people have one household for the whole family to fight over? Because we're impoverished. Because amongst the entire family, that may be the only thing of value. So we have to create things that meet our investment needs. So that we have things that we're interested in. Interest. To change the flow of currency, not only in this country, but in our household. We are still the richest people, but don't know that we're the richest people.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be in finances or resources, we are the richest. Everywhere we go, we are. We have to monopolize on that and work within our own families and within our own communities and begin to build those family relationships that we had once upon a time. Those important family relationships. Remember back in those days where they would marry off this daughter to this son because of their family relationship?
Exactly. And it didn't
and
create a bunch of
relationship. No. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It didn't create a bunch of dysfunctional families, neither.
Tell me about it. They stuck together on a level that
now
we
you got free will. Now you get to choose as a child who you want to be with. When you're 12 and 13, 14, go out there and find your girlfriend. Now you see how the family look now.
Crazy. And then here's the crazy thing. The underlying bottom, you know, to the situation normally be like somebody feels as though the other person is not performing. So at the end of the day, they're not even completely matched up correctly. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to have a good matchup because they feel as though they're not doing their duty, whatever that duty may be. It was kind of crazy to even think that back in the days that didn't happen because you only had certain duties. You when you married into these families, you knew the duties you were marrying into, period. So there is no excuse. It would be more of a pleasure for the man and or the woman to get into that type of situation where everything is prosperous and conducive to how they want to live. Now, when the children are brought into the world, they're not brought into the world of pain and suffering. They're brought into a world of wealth and luxury. They're not wanting and lacking and needing for anything. They're able to do everything that they would like to do. And that's what we do this for. That's what the whole need for unity is, because this goes on to the next generation. It's the next generation that's going to benefit from all of our actions. It's our children, our children's children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren that are benefiting from our actions or suffering from our inability to act.
Or suffering from our lack of action. There you go.
Period. Because if we don't act, well, we can only assume what would be happening, as we can already see what is happening now with our own eyes. What you say, brother?
Go ahead, guy.
If we don't act now, all we're doing is perpetuating suffering. So if you feel like you're suffering, you're only leaving suffering there for your next generation, and when you return, it's going to be some more left for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's plenty of suffering. Suffering is endless.
That was out sitting and saying, your ass going to be born back in slave and chains. And what happened? Nigga, you ain't staying up.
It's a time to stand up. It's beyond a time to stand up and take the action. And it doesn't have to be the biggest of actions. I guess people be getting caught up on that, just thinking that they have to do the most largest and grandiose of things in order to be solidified in history. Sometimes it's just playing your part that solidifies your history, whether it be among all the ears of the nation, or all the nations within your family, or all the nations within your community. But to solidify oneself in history is to be remembered. That's what that is. It's to be remembered. But you have to do something worthy of being remembered. And there's only two ways that can go. You either do the right thing or the wrong thing. For us, our inaction has caused this situation that we're in now. So we can't continue to sit there innately and wait for something to happen. We have to put things into action. Even if our generation at this current time doesn't benefit, the next generation will, and it's worth it. If you care about your kids like you say you do, the action should be flawless. It should be nothing. We sacrifice for our families and our loved ones and our kids every day, doing things that we don't need. So how about sacrifice for the things that we do? Bring that prosperity back in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Prosperity.
Prosperity Thursday. Better know it.
Shout out to Knowledge Born Allah, dude, the Knowledge Radio, THA. That's my spiel right there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the governor. Well, for real. Like, you finds his place, and he helps you find yours.